Joining us on the Newsmaker line is Catherine Pittman, a psychology professor from St. Mary's College. And Catherine, we saw with a lot of probably very heightened interest with some people, and others didn't want to look at it at all, the first court appearance of James Holmes, the man responsible, according to police, for this massacre in Aurora, Colorado from this past Friday. He had fire engine orange hair, and he looked like he was spaced out, almost trying to battle to stay awake and that sort of thing. And I would imagine some people's first inclination would be he's trying to build his insanity defense, or other people would say, look at that, the guy's insane. How do you know?
Well, we can't know just from watching him, and I think it's going to take a lot of people interviewing him very carefully to try to sort out what's really going on. Obviously, this is a gentleman who is a very intelligent person. I mean, he's in graduate school in neuroscience, and as far as we know, has been performing well. So we know he's intelligent and capable of high-level work, and then the crimes that he appears to have committed show a great deal of organization and forethought and planning. So it's hard to imagine that he's out of touch with reality. And so I think that's why people are somewhat skeptical when they see him. They wonder, is this an act he's putting on? Because he certainly seems capable of thinking ahead and making a plan about how to cope with a complex situation. What he had set up in his apartment, it really shows that he's intelligent and organized, and it's really, I think, it's a puzzling case.
You can make an argument that whether it's one person killing another one person, or if it's a situation such as this where one person's responsible for wounding 70, 12 of them fatally, that there's a level of insanity that's there. How can a person be that intelligent yet that theoretically insane?
Well, insanity, remember, means a specific thing. It's a legal definition. And insanity has to do with whether you're aware of the consequences of your action and you can make reasonable, rational decisions.
But understood,
now,
but, you know, that's...
When a person does things to harm another person, then we start thinking about, or many other people, then we start thinking about what the motives could be, and they might have nothing to do with insanity. And insanity could be, for example, someone who thinks someone is possessed and is attacking them and they kill someone, or they believe that there are aliens surrounding them, or, you know, they have ideas that are not reasonable or rational, and what they do is to protect themselves, but it's not on the basis of any reality. Now, what he did, he didn't appear to be in any danger. This is something he planned ahead of time with premeditation. Right now, what they'd be looking at, I think, in terms of insanity is whether he can participate meaningfully in his own defense. And so in terms of us, from a psychological perspective, trying to figure out if he has a disorder, when someone kills this many people, the first thing you think of is antisocial personality disorder, which is also sometimes called psychopathy. And he doesn't have a history of previous crimes or run-ins with the law, the kinds of things that we'd usually look for. And that's what makes this case so puzzling to people. No one would have expected this kind of behavior from him.
And it's because there is no record of anything out of the ordinary other than maybe being a bit of a quote-unquote loner, which is somewhat typical of this sort of situation. Beyond that, there was really nothing that stood out in his pictures with his family and friend relationships from everything that I've seen and read. So how do you spot something like this?
Well, it's almost impossible to be able to recognize all of the people who have the potential to enact some kind of horrific crime like this. It's one of the most difficult things, that you can't really predict human behavior that well. And, you know, something that's very interesting about this case is how it seems many people are approaching it differently and saying, let's not focus on him because perhaps that's what he wanted. And that's an interesting thing. I think this is the first time I've really heard people have an understanding that sometimes a person is looking for notoriety and actually having people trying to deny him that benefit of this crime, to try to not use his name, to try to say they're going to focus on the survivors, on the victims, on the heroes, and not on him. So it's an interesting difference in this case that we haven't seen before.
It certainly is a new dynamic, and that's what's happening on the ground in Aurora. Of course, in the media, you're looking at every angle of this, and I think that one underlying question, while certainly it's noble to not give him what he perhaps wants, and that's the spotlight, that underlying question of why is so perplexing, and it's such a big carrot out there, it's hard to ignore.
Right, and I think it's so much a part of human behavior, probably. Why I became a psychologist, to try to understand people's behavior. And we all do it in our lives, trying to understand why anyone does anything. But when you have a horrific crime like this, it certainly raises a lot of questions about his motive and what he was hoping to accomplish. And if he indeed made this plan in order to get notoriety, or was he very angry, felt powerless, was looking for a sense of power? It's so hard to know. And we also wonder if he'll ever honestly tell us what his true feelings are or were.
You know, it's if he is trying to build an insanity defense based upon his actions from the time he was picked up until the present time, or perhaps even future time, it's going to be hard to argue based upon your definition of insanity and the legal definition of insanity, based upon all those other things, that he was insane at the time of the crime.
Well, one thing that they sometimes do, and this is a different state by state, they look to see if he can participate meaningfully in his defense. If it seems as if he's out of touch with reality and cannot participate in his defense, in some states, that is allowed to delay a trial until he's properly medicated or treated and can be involved in his own defense.
Sure.
So that might be a possibility of how it might be affected. But I don't know what the rules are, the law is in Colorado.
Absolutely. And I granted that, and we've seen that sort of thing play out, even on a local case where there have been situations where someone has done something horrific and they can't participate in their own defense. And so we've seen a delay until they are able to do that. But at the time of the actual crime itself, because of the manipulation of everything that was going on around him and such painstaking care and organization, as you said before, to say that you were insane when you were actually walking through that theater pulling the weapon, that might be more of an uphill battle to try to climb for him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right. Very good. Catherine Pittman, St. Mary's College psychology expert and professor, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Sure, and my thoughts go out to all the people who lived through that and the families of those who were killed.